how do we get women the information they need, both so that they can go to their doctor with the halachic background to have their needs met, like what is a problem as far as spotting goes, what does their Rav Paskin when it comes to membrane sweeps, things like that, and the other direction. When they go to their Rav, it would be great if all our Rabbanim had the scientific background to understand fully a woman's health shaila. And there are those that do, but many don't. And you can't expect them to have the entire background of a woman's health provider. They may never have taken an anatomy class. So you're kind of asking for them to paskin on a modern, complicated women's health question that Gemara didn't address.
Giving birth is one of the most significant events of your life. Sadly, the joy that you should feel can often be replaced with anxiety and helplessness instead. As a labor and delivery nurse, I'm revealing insider information to educate you, reassure you, and decrease your fear. In this podcast, you'll hear empowering birth stories and experts weigh in on a range of topics. Being Jewish also has me exploring Judaism's influence on the reproductive experience. However, I speak to anyone wishing to navigate their journey with more joy and confidence. I'm your host, Chani Fingerer, and you're listening to the Happy Birthway Podcast. Welcome to episode 51 of the Happy Birthway Podcast. So, for a long time, I've been wanting to bring to you some episodes on women's health topics that transcend just the perinatal period, because I believe that taking care of your overall health, especially that which specifically addresses the physiological characteristics of being a female, is foundational for healthy childbearing. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking with Yona Chatzinoff about her work as a women's health nurse practitioner and bodeka, and how she integrates the two to empower women to take charge of both their health and their Jewish observance of the laws, the halachos, that are unique to being a Jewish woman. Because Jewish law is so intertwined with every area of our lives, including reproduction, sex, and our health as women, it's especially significant to me, a woman's health professional who is also Orthodox Jewish, to have conversations around this intersection. Now, I know that there are many listeners of this podcast that are not Jewish or not religious and may be completely unfamiliar with the topics that we'll be referencing here. When I talk about topics unique to Orthodox Judaism, usually I try to give an overview as I bring them up. However, because there's such an extensive background knowledge base that's required to understand some of the references we make, in the interest of time, I'm going to direct anyone who's unfamiliar with the laws of Jewish family purity, otherwise known in Hebrew as Taharas HaMishpacha, to head to either aish.com, that's aish.com, or Chabad.org, that's chabad.org, both of which I'll link in the show notes, and head over to one of these websites and search the terms family purity, so that you can get a brief and accurate overview of the laws. Note that it's important to make sure that you get this overview from a credible source, which the aforementioned websites are, because sadly there are a lot of misconceptions and inaccuracies that are rampant in the Wild West of the World Wide Web. And I know this because I spend a lot of time dispelling myths my non-Jewish friends and coworkers ask me about. Many of you who know me know that when I discover something I like, I get very enthusiastic and feel like I must share it with the whole world. And it's also a pretty self-explanatory fact that I'm a fanatical podcast listener, hence why I started my own. Throughout my years of listening to podcasts, I've come across several that are hosted by Jewish women, and these served as inspiration for the creation of my own podcast. Recently, I have had the privilege of joining a collective of from female Jewish podcasters, many of whom I have been fangirling. So it's a huge honor for me. You know, from women make up a tiny fraction of the podcaster population, and therefore our audiences tend to be small, even if we have big things to say. So we banded together to support each other by getting each other's shows out to our respective listeners. So in the next 7 episodes, I'll be featuring a short clip for a different podcast made by From Female. I know that I've discovered many of my favorite podcasts through other podcasts, and I hope that you'll be thrilled when you discover one through me. This week, I'm going to share a really great show with you called How to Glow by Kayla Levin. Kayla is a marriage coach, and that's what her podcast is all about. I myself have been listening to it way before I started my own, so check her out.
Hey there, Kayla Levin here. I'm a newlywed and marriage coach for Jewish women. Working with married women around the world, I found that a happy marriage is so much more than a formula or luck of the draw. There are practical tools, paradigm shifts, and concepts that you can start using today to love your marriage more by the time you go to bed tonight. The work we do here will make your entire life better. You'll apply these tools in your career to finally get to the bottom of that load of laundry you've been procrastinating, allow yourself to take that vacation, or shoot for that goal. Pulling from experts across the mental health field, but always grounded and compatible with Torah wisdom, I am bringing you the absolute best, tried and true techniques that have helped my clients overcome their biggest life and marriage challenges for you to experience right here. Subscribe to the How to Glow podcast with Kayla Levin on your favorite podcast platform. I'll see you there.
Today, I am interviewing Yona Chatzinoff. Yona is a board-certified women's health nurse practitioner and bodeka tahara with additional training in health and halacha counseling from Machon Pua in Israel. She's also the mother of 4 young girls, and she lives with her family in the north of Israel. She's been a nurse for over 10 years with an OBGYN focus for over 7. On the Pnima Wellness blog and podcast and through private consultations, she works to help women bridge the gap between standard women's healthcare and education and their unique Taharas HaMishpacha needs. Her passion lies in helping women clarify their unique concerns and discover the wide range of solutions available, and empowering them in asking their questions to medical providers and rabbanim from a place of knowledge and confidence. Welcome, Yona, to the Happy Birthway podcast. You have quite an impressive profile. So, Yona, you are a board-certified women's health nurse practitioner. I just want to explain to our audience what a board-certified women's health nurse practitioner, what your training has been in order to achieve this certification, for lack of a better word, profession. Career. So you had to first go through a 4-year training program as a registered nurse, and many registered nurses, before they attend an advanced level of training, they practice also as a nurse, so they gain expertise and experience. And then it's in what we call like a mid-level provider. It is a master's level at the minimum, and sometimes a doctorate level, which is increasing in the United States. And so you had advanced training to specialize in a specific population, in your case, women's health. And it's within your scope once you complete that training to diagnose different conditions, to order labs and other tests, and to prescribe medications, and in some cases, perform certain procedures. And also, you're trained with the nursing philosophy, which is somewhat different from the medical philosophy, where the nursing philosophy is focused on a lot of health promotion and prevention of medical problems, whereas the medical community is focused more on different pathologies and medical problems and health problems when they actually occur. And of course, this is a broad generalization, but this is the overarching difference in philosophies. I want to ask you, how would you describe the difference between a woman's health nurse practitioner and a nurse midwife, a certified nurse midwife, which is also at the advanced level of nursing training, and also has a similar, you know, amount of training that they had to undergo, and also specialize in women's health?
So it's a great question, and I actually have a unique perspective of, I originally went for certified nurse midwife. That's what I went back to school for. My program offered both. And the reason that initially I went for certified nurse midwife is that in the United States, the role of certified nurse midwife encompasses the scope of a women's health nurse practitioner as well. So there's nothing a nurse midwife can't do that a women's health NP can do. And when I went to clinicals, I ended up shifting from nurse midwife to women's health NP. The difference is the population focus shifts when you leave out birth itself. So a nurse midwife for probably most of her career, or the majority of midwives, will be focused on getting a woman through pregnancy, through birth, postpartum, and a lot of the time and energy goes to ensuring that she has the healthy, safe birth experience that she's looking for. And a women's health NP usually will work in an OB/GYN office, although they can work with nurse midwives as well, and has a focus that's broader. We can also do prenatal care. And I did many prenatal care hours in clinicals. But when I shifted from nurse midwife to women's health NP, I had to add on a few hundred extra clinical hours with a focus on gynecologic care as opposed to simply obstetric care. So there's an increased emphasis on family planning, birth control, just general women's wellness exams, and a little bit more of a focus on primary care. So we get the training to, diagnose and treat an ear infection, a cough, to a slightly greater extent than a nurse midwife will probably have when she's going through her training.
Having a fussy, nonstop crying baby can take all the joy out of motherhood. Is it gas? Is it constipation? Is it colic? It's hard to know, but there is a solution for all of those. Happy Tummy is a waistband that comes with an herbal pouch. When you microwave the pouch and apply the waistband to your fussy baby, your baby is instantly soothed. That's thanks to natural formulation of herbs including flaxseed, chamomile, lemongrass, peppermint, spearmint, and lavender. Happy Tummy is all natural, no drugs or drops. And not only does it quickly soothe your baby, but it smells terrific. Happy Tummy also has adult-sized waistbands, which mothers love for cramps, stomach aches, and back aches. Use my code HAPPYBIRTHWAY for 10% off your whole order on happytummy.com. That's HAPPYTUMMI.com, code HAPPYBIRTHWAY for 10% off. If you have been struggling with nausea and vomiting from your pregnancy, Emmeterm might be the answer for you. Emmeterm is a safe and effective anti-nausea wristband that prevents and relieves nausea and vomiting induced by pregnancy or motion, such as car and boat rides. It releases a low-frequency pulse that travels through the body's nervous system to the part of the brain which controls the stomach. This interrupts the nausea signal pathways. Emmeterm is FDA-cleared and designed to put you in control when you need drug-free therapy with no worries about potential side effects. Users can choose from 5 levels of intensity to achieve the best effect. The unique wristband design holds the device in place and makes it easy to put on and take off. It is FSA and HSA eligible, comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and a 1-year warranty. Go to emmeterm.com, that's EMETERM.com, and use code HAPPYBIRTHWAY for 20% off of your purchase. You can find the link in the episode show notes.
An OB/GYN may have a women's health NP who works in the office to be the, the alternate provider. And because we're never running off to the hospital, we're always there. So whatever it is that an OB/GYN does in office that a nurse midwife would do in office, the women's health NP can fill that role. So again, the things like prenatal checks to, prescribing birth control, actually to even inserting an IUD, a women's health NP can do all of that. And yeah, your attention isn't split to the woman who's in the hospital giving birth.
Yeah, that's a great point. So this is really your passion. Can you please explain to us what a bodega tahara is and how your nursing training, how that informs the way you, do the things you do as a bodega?
Okay, so in the United States, bodegas are a little less frequently used than they are in Israel. When a woman performs bedikas to check whether she's having any bleeding, occasionally a woman will see that she's having some spotting, some bleeding will show up on her cloth that's not from her period. So what I do basically is a very miniature speculum exam, like not a full exam. I don't do any testing. I do a speculum exam. And my job is to see whether there's a source of bleeding on the cervix, in the vagina, even on the labia that could be showing up when a woman goes to check herself with a bedika cloth. And occasionally I'll also, well, often I'm asked to assess what the discharge a woman is having, whether it has blood in it or whether it's clean. But basically, it's an internal exam that a woman would not be able to do for herself. It requires the skills and training of someone who has been trained to use a speculum, because it is it's invasive in that way. And because it's not, because of when they have, when a woman usually needs them, so often postpartum or when she's been having some other complication, it's kind of important to have the skills to do it delicately, gently. It's done sometimes in clinic, sometimes at home. I actually have a room in my house that has a separate entrance, and I have a setup in my house. The midwifery training that I got came in useful because the midwives I worked with didn't use obstetric exam tables. They did most of their exams just on a bed without stirrups. Yeah. So you do it without stirrups, and it's, you try and keep people relaxed, but it is an internal exam. And if I'm able to find a source of bleeding that's non-uterine, then a woman's able to go to the mikvah or able to continue counting her clean days without having to restart. So it's a really useful tool that rabbis can use to help women get to the mikvah.
Yeah, so I think maybe a good way to put it, and let me know if you agree with this, is you have the ability, it's kind of like a further testing, so to speak. Okay, I'm coming from, you know, working in healthcare. It's further testing to rule out bleeding from the uterus. So it can be bleeding from another source, which halachically does not make one a nida. Let's say the bleeding is from some tissue irritation, like some labial, you know, if there's a little cut or something, that's not uterine. So even though when a woman does a bedika, she'll see some blood, the source for the blood is not the uterus.
Yeah, so I'd say it's kind of like a combination rule in and rule out. You're ruling out uterine bleeding, which is one aspect of it, and you're ruling in that you found some other source. Halachically, just having something else to hang the bleeding on is very helpful. So there are many women who have something called an ectropion cervix, where the cells that line the cervical canal are sort of flipped a little bit outwards. These women will usually have more bleeding after a pap smear as well. So some women know they have it, some don't. It's not considered a gynecologic problem for most women. It's not a medical problem. It causes many halachic problems when women aren't able to go see a bodeket. So I'd say that's the majority of women who are sent repeatedly to a bodeket. But postpartum, if someone just needs confirmation, they're not able to see themselves when they look in a mirror, but they need confirmation that their bleeding is coming from an episiotomy or a tear, something that got stitched up. If a woman is experiencing a lot of vaginal dryness, so she gets a small tear in the side of her vagina when she does her bedikas, all of these things, there are some rabbis who are trained to kind of assess them without a bodeket, but having a bodeket available to identify something clearly, just like you said, it really makes women, it gets women to the mikvah who might otherwise have really big problems. So the combination of the medical training that I received, the nursing training, but including the holistic aspect of being a nurse practitioner, being trained as a nurse midwife to be with women and support them in what they specifically are looking for, taking that and then combining it with the halachic training that I received, both to become a bodeket and as a counselor for women's health concerns and halacha, that's kind of been where my focus has moved. Like, how do we get women the information they need, both so that they can go to their doctor with, you know, the halachic background that they need, the halachic background to have their needs met. Like, what is a problem as far as spotting goes? What does their Rav Paskin when it comes to membrane sweeps, things like that. And the other direction, when they go to their Rav, it would be great if all our Rabbanim had the scientific background to understand fully a woman's health shaila. And there are those that do, but many don't. And you can't expect them to have the entire background of a women's health provider. They may never have taken an anatomy class. So you're kind of asking for them to poskin on a modern, complicated women's health question that, you know, Gemara didn't address. So I never tell people, like, disregard halacha, like chas v'shalom. That's not at all what I'm saying. But when you take the education that you have and the details and what you've learned and you bring it to your Rav, if your Rav is you know, an understanding, caring, competent rabbi, then he will be able to incorporate that into his psak to a different extent. So by empowering women to know more, to be educated, to be confident, we're empowering a more dependable, consistent, reliable halachic process, basically.
Yeah, yeah, because halacha is so individual and so reliant on the actual information and, you know, when it comes to bleeding, like the physiology and what's happening.
Before we continue, I wanted to let you know about a revolutionary diaper brand called Diaper, D-Y-P-E-R. These eco-friendly diapers are made with viscose from bamboo, so they're soft on your baby's skin while still being extra absorbent to handle your baby's biggest accidents. Diaper wants to pass on the savings directly to you by cutting out the middleman. They ship your diapers to you for a low, predictable price with no extras or gotchas. Set your subscription and let them deliver the exact quantity you need. If you need more, they'll deliver them promptly with their exclusive SOS service. If you need less, send them back with a prepaid label. You can precisely manage your deliveries using their website or their mobile app. One of the products that I think is really cool is their diaper sense. It's a small sensor that you attach to your baby's diaper and it continuously monitors the temperature and humidity surrounding their skin. It will help you optimize your diaper changes, reduce overall diaper use, and may help reduce instances of skin rash due to prolonged exposure to moisture. All you do is snap it to the outside of the diaper and connect it to Diaper's app. It will notify you when number one or number two happens. Subscribe through the link in my show notes and you will get a free bonus diaper bag just for trying them out. You can cancel anytime with no obligation, but still keep the bag. KiwiCo Crates are a monthly subscription of crates that come filled with age-appropriate STEAM projects for kids, from toddlers to teenagers and even adults. STEAM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Math. Every crate explores a different theme designed to spark creativity, thinking, and learning. All projects, inspiration, and activities are created by a team of product designers in-house and rigorously tested by kids. KiwiCo offers all different product lines spanning variety of interest and age ranges. Panda Crate is for babies from 0 to 24 months. Each crate helps babies learn by doing what they do best, playing, exploring, and most importantly, interacting with the people in their lives. Crates arrive every other month and are filled with 2 months' worth of content. So if you're trying to figure out what a developmentally appropriate way to interact with your baby is, Panda Crates will take the guesswork out. For an exclusive 30% off discount on your first month subscription, go to kiwico.com, that's KIWICO.com, and enter code LEARN30 at checkout. That's kiwico.com, code LEARN30 at checkout.
A lot of Rabbanim that will paskin have never received an anatomy training. And I just want to say that you know, many Rabbanim, like, are excellent. They're really great, and they know when to refer out, and they know when to consult medical professionals when something is out of their scope of knowledge. Unfortunately, some don't realize that there are details that they're missing to the picture, and then so they'll make a psak that may actually be stricter than required, and may actually create more anguish for the woman. You would think that Rabbanim that get training in paskening shilas, you know, nida, would have some form of anatomical training, like explaining maybe an overview of the cervical issues that you mentioned.
So I think that it probably depends where. You know, there are kolels where men go and they see thousands of bedikah cloths, and that's what they learn from, and they learn to distinguish colors. And a big emphasis of learning Hilchos Nida is distinguishing colors. So some of that is going to be sufficient, and some of it's not. Again, in the United States, it's taught differently than in Israel, because in Israel, they have the ability to refer to a bodeket. So they will paskin differently based on that. They will paskin keeping in mind that they can send a woman, where my father-in-law is a Rav in Cedarhurst, and I know that he rarely sends someone to be checked, but he was taught to view different things on a bedikah cloth and paskin based on that. So it really does depend. The woman who trained me, who gave me the additional training to be a bodeket after we made Aliyah, she herself made up this like great information pamphlet that she eventually just started handing to the Rabbanim who she felt were missing the background. So there were those who had it down completely, and the Rav here who refers most bedikas to me, like if he thinks that there is something causing the bleeding, what's called a petza, a wound, he's like pretty much always right. He's sort of like a scientist about it, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that he knows what a cervix looks like, but I'm sure that there are those who don't. And she had encountered that enough, this bodeket, that she had made an informational pamphlet that had different diagrams, different explanations of what people might see. So if people are seeking information, information is always out there. But when people don't know that there is information to be sought, then they can miss a lot.
Yeah, and you don't know what you don't know. Like, you won't even know what questions to ask and what possible information you will not know that may help inform the interpretation of halacha. And that's why, you know, that's part of what I do, where I'm very careful to distinguish my training and level of knowledge. And I'm very mindful of making sure that I don't overstep my bounds and make some kind of halachic rulings, you know, paskin things. But my passion lies in making sure that women are equipped with all of the necessary information to relate to their Rav in order for the Rav to have all of the information that they need to make the correct, most accurate psak.
And I would also say that women's health continues to evolve. So the things that were the default psak 20 years ago are not going to be the default psak now and are not going to be the default psak in 5 years. You see this a lot with prenatal testing. I think it's shifting. Women used to not get ultrasounds because the ultrasounds were unreliable, and there some Rabbanim decided they caused more anguish than they helped. And nowadays, I mean, they can do intrauterine surgery. There's a lot of stuff that they can find that has a practical benefit to find in pregnancy. We're not using them to tell people to terminate their pregnancies. We're using them to help them achieve a healthy baby, including healthy birth. I mean, it really can tell you a lot. And I think things have shifted in the realm of birth control also. There used to not be a knowledge. There wasn't an understanding that hormonal birth control negatively impacted many women. There are many women for whom it works fine. And there are women, there's a high percentage of women who experience depression or other negative side effects. And that's sort of like a growing field of interest in women's health amongst women's health providers. And as that grows, that will shift over into, you know, halachic psak of what a Rav will say is acceptable for birth control or not. Like the use of diaphragms, for example, is considered halachically a second tier choice for most women. They would prefer that women try something else first because diaphragms have a barrier component to them, which is not halachically preferable. Many Rabbanim will say after, you know, other forms of birth control has failed, you can move to that. And I think that, again, in 5 years, we may be hearing something different. You know, women getting their tubes tied used to be a default at a certain point, and now more quickly, someone will be sent to get an IUD. There's just a lot of different stuff.
I use an excellent Rav that I've had these conversations with, and he said there, with scientific advancement comes different halachic relevancies and change, and we are living in an unprecedented times of scientific advancement that's happening at a very rapid pace. And so, you know, he was excellent. He said, we have to keep up with the times. He said, as a rabbinic community, continue our education in order to keep up with it, because things change, like you said, with the ultrasound, with so many other prenatal testing. I recently had that conversation on Instagram, and there were people that messaged me with misinformation, misconceptions, thinking that, why is this from, there was another, you know, from OBGYN that was explaining the, you know, about prenatal testing. Why is this from OBGYN promoting prenatal testing? It has no benefit except for abortion, you know? And wow, no. We have so many scientific right. advancements and so many things to do and benefits. And you'll hear people say, oh, well, they told my mother 40 years ago that her son was going to have Down syndrome and he was perfectly healthy. And could you imagine if she would have aborted, et cetera, et cetera. Firstly, it's not
she didn't have to abort, but just from many people having that preparation. But secondly, they never told anybody anything as 100%. There's nothing ever 100% in science. There are statistics and calculations of risk and likelihood, and today they're extremely precise. There are screenings and there are diagnostic tools, which are very different. A screening is just something to screen if you need further diagnostic testing. And the information we have now is much more accurate. And again, nothing is 100%, but it's important for people to understand that it's not black and white. Nobody's, you know, sometimes people will say, oh, they scared me so much. They said my baby is going to have a heart problem, and they were wrong. And that nuance, that understanding of nuance, where no one's ever said that they may have told you there's a higher likelihood, and the less prenatal testing you have, if you just have one anatomy scan, that's all they can base it off of. They don't have other data to factor into their calculations of what the risk is and possibility. So like you said, there's a lot of scientific advancement that's happening at a rapid pace, and that really will inform halacha.
I would say also, separate from the halachic aspect, I think there's validity in women saying for themselves they personally are comfortable with less testing. I myself am supportive of a certain, you know, minimum standard of testing. Like when people choose not to get any ultrasounds, I'm uncomfortable with that, knowing what I know of how much you can do positively with the information you get from an ultrasound. But when a woman, for example, like a nuchal translucency test, what's done in the beginning of pregnancy, which is mostly used to diagnose, or again, like you said, not to diagnose, but to screen for Down syndrome. So there are some women who say they don't want it, they don't want to have that hanging over them, they'd rather just wait till birth and see what happens. And there are women who say, no, I mean, I want to know everything in advance so that I can work through it, I can process it. And I think those are both valid. I think as long as we are doing what we can to preserve our health, to preserve our baby's health, there's like a bare minimum standard. There's hishtadlus. You need to do what you can to keep yourself safe and your baby safe. And not everyone will want to go for every modern advancement, every possible new test. And women get to make those choices. They should be choices. They should know what it is they're choosing. They should have reasons for what they're choosing and not default to it because it's what they were told was the right thing to do, the frum thing to do. Either direction, you know? Do these things because they make sense for you. They make sense for you and your husband as a couple.
Yeah, that's so true. We're moving from the infantilizing attitude of just, you know, saying to a woman, yes, you can get that. No, you can't get that test from a halachic standpoint. It's like you said, making an informed decision, having all of the information, thorough understanding of what the tests are, what they would be testing for, and if they were positive, what would be the steps taken? Like you said, what would we do about those tests? And like you said, some people say they were told that they're having a Down syndrome baby and they don't want to know. They don't want it, like you said, to hang like a shadow over the rest of their pregnancy. And they're okay with the surprise if it happens, mm-hmm. and then dealing with it then. I mean, I think this is the overarching human experience. It's not just from people. It's for, you know,
absolutely,
you know, human society at large. So yeah, like you said, it's the informed decision, and I see it so seldom that doctors actually sit down or actually refer patients to a genetic counselor to have a session and really go over everything and, you know, having all of the information. And I think that also is applicable to other women's health issues, right?
For sure. I mean, that's kind of the idea of the nurse practitioner role, as opposed to the more medical OB-GYN role or even the PA role, is that nurse practitioners have a focus on education. We, like nurses do, like so much of what nurses do is to educate. So a nurse practitioner goes into the specialty with the goal of educating. So to some extent, I mean, that's one of the reasons I love what I do. And to some extent, when you're choosing who to see in the office, if there is a nurse practitioner, if there is a nurse midwife who's working in the office, even if you are using an OB-GYN and for your delivery, for your birth, or for procedures, whatever it is, certain people will have more time and more education and more of an emphasis on educating, on talking, on teaching. So look for the people who have the time and the interest in giving you the information you're looking for. And it's out there.
Thanks for tuning into the Happy Birthway podcast. Head over to Yoledit Academy on Instagram to continue the conversation. You'll find the link in the episode show notes, as well as links to any additional resources, products, and services mentioned here. If you love listening to this show, you can help it grow by sharing it with your friends and rating and reviewing it. To stay in the loop when new episodes are released, make sure to subscribe. Remember that your health needs are unique and require individualized medical advice. The podcast is not a replacement, and some of the information may not be appropriate for your specific circumstances. My mission is to educate you so that you can confidently collaborate with your healthcare team. I believe that a healthy mom and healthy baby are simply not enough. We also need a happy mom with an empowering birth experience.